This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samu Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
Blessed be your name, for in Jesus' name, pray. Amen. All right, good morning and welcome to 30 Minutes with GSW. Today, I'm going to look at the things that are important, that makes us important to God. The things that makes us important to God. Oftentimes, as believers, we consider God extremely special. And we consider ourselves to the time in the manner of speaking when it comes to pleasing God. We do everything we can to make sure we please God. And when we can't, we feel bad. Or we feel as if we have dropped the ball, or we have not done all that we ought to do by way of trying to please God, that we've not done everything that is required of us. And that makes us feel terrible. But there are people that please God. They do it willingly and without much stress. And often that you wonder, okay, how come this person easily finds it without any stress to please God? And how do I get there? How do I get to that point where I will also know, without any doubt in my heart, that I please God, that God is important to me, that I'm important in the sight of God? And then you ask yourself such a question, and you begin to question, was it the number of times I pray in a day? Was it what I give to God? Was it when I take care of the poor? How come it seems God is a bit partial? It was this person, while it seems obtuse to me, well, is it just luck? And then just to feel that God loves, regardless of how they behave, who they are, who their parents are, and that is God neutral to all of us, or are there really some people that can fault God on present ground or legal grounds, that God really loves them when they are taking advantage of that love? And the way you look at it as an individual personally, how do you measure the love of God? Or the tangible things, what are the tangible things you see in your life that make you say, God is on my side, God has helped me, God has supported me? What are the things you will see? Most of the times, the things that we say we want to see, or that we call evidence of God being with us, are material things. Cars in the garage, clothes to wear, money in the bank. We will share the story of the circumstances under which we became what God made us. Oh, I was struggling as a banker. And then I met this person, and so a lot of circumstances that we don't want, but that has now become favorable to us, which we then begin to make a formula out of, as to when it is time for us to tell the world that this is why God loves me, or God favors me. You have to understand that a lot of people They don't know God loves them. And you can never know God loves you if those are the things you use to measure. For example, somebody that is full of the Holy Spirit who speaks in tongues, and somebody that does not speak in tongues but is a Christian. Even if that does not speak in tongues has a lot of money, it would be foolhardy to assume that God loves somebody who has not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit more than somebody who has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Bible said it emphatically that those who believe in Him, those who have received Him, that have received. So it is important that you look at it and say, oh, am I doing the right thing here? Because I've not received, I'm just a guy who professes to like being a Christian. I'm saying I'm a Christian, I'm following the ceremonious religious rites. And I know that what I followed was not the right one, right? But I follow this because, well, it is what's applicable at the time. Many of us don't have the story. That no matter how it is, Jesus wouldn't compromise on what is proper, on what is right, on what is acceptable. So someone that is full of the Holy Spirit has a very strong, persuasive and real evidence that God is with him or her and that God loves him or her. That is the kind of argument where there's no argument, you know that, okay, I wasn't at home, I was on my tour, and then this and this and this and this happened. But God will never love somebody who is not full of the Holy Spirit, who has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, above somebody who has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. No matter what you see, maybe the person who has accepted is somewhere talking to somebody, no matter what you see, a nominal Christian who does not have the Holy Ghost is not to God more important than the one that has the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an argument. The Holy Spirit is a fact of life. If somebody does not have the Holy Ghost, then the person can never see in any way that he or she is pleasing God. Because in order for us to become acceptable to God, in the book of Acts chapter 2, what he did was he poured out his spirit upon all flesh. If we were acceptable and perfect the way we were, there would be no reason for his spirit to be poured out upon us. He said, I'll pour out upon my spirit upon all flesh. And he did this when he came to Acts chapter 2. So when anybody asks me, how is this? I'll just let the person know. Even though this is what we have on the ground, but as far who he is, this thing has not happened. I will not use pancake to cover an issue that I know is not a joke. And I'm not going to put my mind on it and say, oh, they will manage. No. It is not that, like God does not, cannot just show the person, oh, love and help the person so that the person can manage to scrap up a little bit here, a little bit there. But that is not God's plan. That is not God's plan. God's plan is absolutely different, and it requires that you are unhindered. That the person coming, that the touch of God's word is unhindered by personal decisions or by general human decisions. That the person is just pulled here and there, and that whenever the person makes a decision, okay, this is what I'm going to do, that decision is worth it. It's tangible, and it is by the Spirit of God. It is from the Spirit of God. Because when we are full of the Holy Spirit, decisions that we will make are not decisions that we can take back to God and say, God, this is my decision, this is what I want to do with you. A lot of times, you just keep quiet about it. Even God will remind us, I'm looking at this thing. What is happening? You keep quiet. Why? Because you do not know how to define it. But the word of God is quick. The Lord loves above all else those who show up at the gates of Zion. those who are full of the Holy Spirit, those who care for elderly, those who are in the elders' fellowship, but they are full of the Holy Spirit, God loves them. Being full of the Holy Spirit is very, very important when it comes to relationship with God. With the evidence of speaking in tongues, oftentimes, when we speak in tongues and there is interpretation, you will see how easy it is that the interpretation is often expressing the love of God, expressing it and saying, oh, how I love you. Oh, you love me. I'm not joking. You interpret tongues. When you get to interpret tongues, you see. And then over and over again, you see that tongues itself is expressing the love of God. You interpret tongues. You are speaking in tongues. Maybe 1 hour, 2 hours. And then the Lord shows you the interpretation of your own tongues. And you discover how you've been saying all day. He says, oh, I love you. Oh, I love you. Oh, I adore you. Oh, I love you. Oh, I worship you. And that's because your tongue also affirms the love of God. Your tongue affirms the love of God. So it is very important to every one of us on the call. It is very important that we understand what makes us important to God. What gives some of us more confidence, more access than others. Between Cain and Abel, there was a son of obedience. There was a son of disobedience. There was a son of self, or a son that will do the will of self. And then there was a son that will do the will of God. And we saw the evidence that, okay, this was why God said, okay, I'm going to accept as an example the sacrifice of Abel. It was a son of obedience. A son who would do the will of the father to the letter. Cain was also a son that would do that. Cain was a son of self. You will see that even after God had taken away Abel from him and became established, he soon became a prominent leader of men. And all the men he was leading, he didn't show them God. He showed from his character that he would rather display himself, he would rather display self to God than display God to men. So why did God prefer Abel to Cain? Abel was willing to raise a banner to God. He was willing to say, oh, I'm nothing. All that I am, all that I will ever be is God. God made me. God built me. God fashioned me. God did everything that it has to do with me. It is all God. Abel was willing to do that. Cain was not. Before Jacob could be acceptable to God, he had to have that encounter in Genesis 35, in which the angel of the Lord broke his leg. Why would God want to be somebody that he claims to love to experience a broken leg before he could show love? Because Jacob too was like that. Jacob was like Cain. Even though the father blessed him, he was a cunning, selfish, self-indulgent man. He was a man that he believed so much in himself. When he had spent 20 years with Laban, and there was something to show for it, he protested. Ah, how long will I continue to live here and not be able to feed my own family? But then he got a bit of insight as to how he could raise his livestock. And when he put it into place, he was able to raise some. And after raising some, he tried to roll because he knew that there were most likely going to come again and divide his wages. But in all these things, he had not met God. He was suffering, and God was just looking at him. He was suffering and God was looking at him. He was suffering and God was looking at him. God did not say, oh, let me help you. No. And when he came back to God, Genesis 35, to say, I'm tired of this. Please, I'm going to see my brother Esau tomorrow. Only you can help me. The first thing God did was that God took away his name and God gave him a new name. God gave him a new spirit. That spirit was what compelled the importance of God in his life. After that day, his name changed to Israel. And then he went to meet his brother, he survived it, and then he began to build upon the strength of the promise of God that he received in that chapter of the scriptures. So what made him important to God was not anything he did, was the fact that God took him over. So God is important to God. God is important to God. Any man that is full of the Holy Spirit is full of the Spirit of God. That man is important to God. That man is important to God. Any man that is full of the Holy Spirit, that man is full of God. God, the Spirit of God, that is the Holy Spirit. Any man or woman, it doesn't matter whether you know how to pray or not, it doesn't matter. There are lots of people that are full of the Holy Spirit, but they just don't know how to pray. They are set in their ways. They do not know how to make declarations. They do not know how to speak in faith. They do not know how to make their confession. But that they are full of the Holy Spirit, already they are acceptable to God. If you are acceptable to God, then the Spirit of God will live inside of you. God does not live in vessels that are unacceptable to him. God cannot come and possess somebody by force. God, if you are accepted to God, if God says to you, oh, I say, Father, I give my life to you. I want to be a son of God. I want just Christ to be my Lord and Savior. If that ever happened, and the scriptures say that, oh, you said that, and then you receive just a son and Savior, you are immediately became important to God. Because the Spirit of God is dwelling in you. And God takes that seriously. That the Spirit of God is dwelling bodily in somebody. God takes that seriously. That person already has like the passports. When we say, this American passport or Japanese passport or whatever passport can open the door to anywhere for you if you are a right standing citizen. Well, I can say the same thing about what the Holy Spirit can do for a man. When a man is so full of the Holy Spirit, his life is a struggle. When you are full of the Holy Spirit, your life is guided. He will tell you where to go. In pastures green, it will lead you. It will lead you without the still waters. He will do all these things without complaining, without begrudging you. You will find yourself able to conduct yourself as a minister of the gospel of grace easily. Why? Because we are important to God. Because we are important to God. Because God has deemed it worthy to dwell in you. God is going to dwell in the midst of people. One of the things we know about the name of Jesus was that he was Emmanuel, which means God with men. Oh, God has counted this important, that he wants to dwell with men. Oh, okay, beautiful. That God was dwelling with men. Many people are shocked that it's possible for God to live with men. Till tomorrow, many people still argue, oh, this, oh, that. But we know that God came. And when he came to dwell with men. That means man is important. So when you read Psalm 8, it says, oh, what is man? What is man that you are mindful of him? Why do you consider these human beings? How do you consider them so important like this? You have honored them, you have taken care of them, you have done everything. Why? Like, what? How come they have a special place in your heart? Well, it's not everybody that has a special place in God's heart. Those who are not born again, God loves them in quotes. The way we talk about love here, we should be careful not to assume that God loves somebody that is born again and somebody that is not born again equally. It is not true. Those who are not born again are dead to God. That's why the Bible says they were dead in their trespasses. God does not see iniquity. So those who are not born again are basically dead. Like 100%, not even in the reckoning, not recognized, not known, not not they were of no relevance. They are in this world. We can see them, but to God, they are just like they don't exist. Now I'm telling you the truth because they are not lit up. They are not light of the world. They are not lit up. You know how you enter into a room. There are six or seven bulbs, and you want to light them up, and you put the first whatever on socket or, and when you press it, all light comes on. The one that came on, that is the light you can see. That is the light that is lit up. When God looks at us, those of us who are Christ, we are lit up. That's why Jesus Christ said we are the light of the world. When God looks at us, he sees Christ in those of us who are born again. And he loves his only begotten son so much. This is the image he wants to see in all men. This is the spirit of Christ that God wants to see in all men. I'm not talking about carrying bag and putting the name of Jesus on it, or making a branded t-shirt and putting the face of Jesus. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the status of your soul. Light. Light. He said, he will make us the light of men. I will make him this life is the light of men. So when God looks down, somebody that is lit up, like me, if you put me beside a bishop that is not a Christian, that is a Christian, but not born again, does not speak in tongues, despises the Holy Spirit, is reading services from a book, and you put us side by side on a Sunday morning, and you say, God, who are you seeing? All God will see is Jesus. Because I'm lit up. Because if he recognizes his own, God will not see somebody that is religious. He just, he won't see. He said he cannot. His eyes cannot behold them. So that they can be important. Their prayers are. That's why we say that God doesn't hear the prayer of sinners. You will have heard this several times. It's in the scriptures. The reason God doesn't hear the prayer of that is because somebody that is invisible. You cannot. If an invisible person is praying, you can't hear it. How then can the person become visible? The person gives his life to Christ. Then the person prays and accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. As soon as the person accepts Jesus as Lord and Savior, the person receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then the person is lit up. Suddenly the person comes alive. When the person is lit up, the person just becomes visible to God. So that person becomes a big deal. When people who God deem important are praying, the atmosphere of their prayer shifts a lot of things. I'm not saying, he moves God. No, it shifts because they are given the grace to command reality in such a way that no other person has ever done before. Why? Because they are important to God. God bequeaths upon those that are important to him power, power. Those who know their God, they will be strong and they will do exploits. How are they doing exploits? This is exactly my prayer to us this morning, because they are important to God. They are bold, they are fearless, they raise the dead. All these things that born again Christians do, that we do on a daily basis, why do you think it is so easy for us to do? It is because we are accepted in the beloved. It is because we are important to God. God has given us the status of VIP, important personality, and we have embraced it with open arms. And it makes it evident in our lives. It becomes evident that indeed we belong to God and that God loves us. God loves the gates of our city because we are important to him. We are his own. We are his own people. We are the sheep of his pasture. We are important to God. That is what makes you important. If somebody is born again and the person is doing some things wrong, having some wrong decisions every day in his life, and the person consistently is trying to please God, but the person just keeps getting things wrong. And then there's another person, maybe it's not the born again Christian, who seems to have his life put together. He has the right job. He has the right relationship. He knows how to do this. He knows how to do that. And then you see, God should pick the one that he loves the most between the two of them. It is the one that carries his name. The Bible said, the Apostle Paul speaking, henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear my body the mark of our Lord Jesus Christ. All of us that are born again, he said, are branded. Christ has been placed upon our body, on our forehead, he is there, on our arm, he is there. We bear the brand of Christ. That makes us important to us, that to him, that makes us his touch not. That makes us a touch not also for the enemy. But somebody who is behaving well, but does not have the brand of Christ, you are not important. You cannot invoke any special name. You can't. You do not have it. You cannot wake up and say, oh, I will do this. You cannot. You cannot. You cannot. You cannot. There is no legal standing for you. There is nothing under this heaven that you can do that will make you seem as if you're special. Nothing under this heaven. Nothing, not one thing. But if you come into Christ, you come alive in the Spirit. Then, automatically, you are a big deal. You become a touch not for principalities and power, for powers of darkness, for rulers of darkness of this world. You become a touch not. That makes you important. When you pray, the heavens hear, the heavens stand, everybody, when you pray. That's why the Bible says that when the righteous man prays fervently, he said the prayer means a lot, avails much. That's how the Bible puts it. He said the prayer of a righteous man avails much. How come somebody is unrighteous? Person is praying. The prayer has no impact because it is like empty words. It's like when the dead, if the dead is praying from his grave, it will not be heard. The dead praying from his grave will not be heard. So it is important that you and I understand what makes us, what are the things that makes you important to. May you feel the Holy Ghost. Is this one thing, the most important thing that every believer must strive as much as possible. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is something that you cannot joke with. You are deliberate about it. You want to speak to the Holy Spirit. You want to pray in the Spirit. You want to do things by the Spirit. You want to learn how to hear God from the Spirit. You want to learn of the Spirit and by the Spirit. You want to do this consistently and without any remorse. Because, again, you are doing this to please God. You are doing this to show that indeed you belong to God and that you are his own. God recognizes his own. You cannot say, oh, it is by my tithe. If you don't know that, God is not moved by material things. If a man or woman who believes in God gives God anything, God accepts it and accepts the giver with joy. But somebody that just says, oh, I just want God to be blessing me. Let me give God God's house. But I cannot come and become a Christian. Hey, you want to give God houses, but you don't want to give your life to him. You want to give those cars. You want to give a church millions in any currency. But say, I just want to, I'm like, no, I just said, no. You are not going to be important to God. Without you walking in the obedience of his status, what were the things he said he requires of you? Once you give him that, you become important. Don't forget this. As we go into today's life and we go to churches and we live our lives, if you are disobedient and then you are praying, or you don't do things the way God says he wants things done, and then you say, hey, I'm a prayerful Christian. Say, hey, the Holy Spirit tell you, no, I don't do Holy Spirit. I pray. You cannot serve God according to your own standard. You cannot put God under? What kind of a God do you dictate to? What then makes him a God? A God you are the one that determines how to serve? Really? A God that you are the one that will tell when you want to pray to him, or the God that is subservient to your will? Really? You cannot be important to God if you are important to yourself. The only way to be important to God is to go by what he says is important to him. What did he say? He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. But that this is why the day you believe in him, you become important. Why? Because you have obeyed God. You have basically slotted yourself into that conditional statement. Once you believe, automatically you get lit up. And then you come into the full recognition as a child of God. And every parent regards their children as important. No matter how many they have, they will fight tooth and nail to make sure that their children get the best. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Unconditionally. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Unconditionally. Then you are a big deal to God. Father, I give you glory. Thank you for your church. Thank you for your children. Thank you for knowledge and understanding, for insight into deep things of the Spirit. We bless your name. Your children are blessed daily in everything. Glory be to your name, O Lord. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody who is blessed shout, glory.
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings.